Canto 1, Chapter 15, Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 15, Text Number 34. Yaya Harad Bhuvo Bharam Tam Tanum Vijahav Aja Kantakam Kantake Neva Dwayam Kapisitu Samam. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. The Supreme Unborn, Lord Sri Krishna, caused the members of the Yadu dynasty to relinquish their bodies, and thus he relieved the burden of the world. This action was like picking out a thorn with a thorn, though both are the same to the controller. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur suggests that the rishis, like Sonaka and others who were hearing Srimad Bhagavatam from Suta Goswami at Naimisharanya, were not happy to hear about the Yadus dying in the madness of intoxication. To give them relief from the mental agony, Suta Goswami assured them that the Lord caused the members of the Yadu dynasty to relinquish their bodies, by which they had to take away the burden of the world. The Lord and His eternal associates appeared on earth to help the administrative demigods in eradicating the burden of the world, and therefore called for some of the confidential demigods to appear in the Yadu family and serve Him in His great mission. After the mission was fulfilled, the demigods, by the will of the Lord, relinquished their corporeal bodies by fighting amongst themselves in the madness of intoxication. The demigods are accustomed to drinking the soma rasa beverage, and therefore the drinking of wine and intoxication are not unknown to them. Sometimes they were put into trouble for indulging in intoxication. Once the sons of Kuvera fell in the wrath of Narada for being intoxicated. But afterwards, they regained their original forms by the grace of the Lord Sri Krishna. We shall find this story in the 10th canto. For the Supreme Lord, both the Asuras and the demigods are equal, but the demigods are obedient to the Lord, whereas the Asuras are not. Therefore, the example of picking out a thorn by another thorn is quite befitting. One thorn, which causes pinpricks on the leg of the Lord, is certainly disturbing to the Lord, and the other thorn, which takes out the disturbing elements, certainly gives service to the Lord. So although every living being is a part and parcel of the Lord, still one who is a pinprick to the Lord is called an asura, and one who is a voluntary servitor of the Lord is called a devata, or demigod. In the material world, the devatas and asuras are always contending, and the devatas are always saved from the hands of the asuras by the Lord. Both of them are under the control of the Lord. The world is full of two kinds of living beings, and the Lord's mission is always to protect the devatas and destroy the asuras wherever there is such a need in the world, and to do good to both of them. Well, the idea of doing good to both of them, that's an important point. That's also explained in the second verse of Srimad Bhagavatam. The highest truth is reality distinguished from illusion for the welfare of all. So, that for the welfare of all distinguishes Krishna consciousness from all other welfare work. Usually, welfare work is done with some selfish purpose. That is, like, for example, you have certain charities that benefit only certain ethnic groups. And you have certain charities that only benefit certain racial groups. And you have certain charities that only benefit certain national groups. So that's some kind of welfare work, but there's a selfish purpose behind it. But Krishna's welfare work is for the welfare of all. So here, Krishna is always acting in the welfare of all, not just one group or another group. He sees equally the Yadus and the Asuras. But he rewards each according to their consciousness. So this example of one thorn taking another thorn out is very important, because he uses says here, one thorn which causes pinpricks on the leg of the Lord is certainly disturbing to the Lord, and the other thorn which takes out the disturbing elements certainly gives service to the Lord. So although every living being is a part and parcel of the Lord, still one who is a pinprick to the Lord is called an asura, and one who is a voluntary servitor of the Lord is called a devata or demigod. So even though in the material world the devatas and asuras are always fighting, but the devatas are always saved from the onslaughts of the asuras by the Lord. Both of them, Prabhupada says, are under the control of the Lord. So the Lord's mission is to always protect the devatas and destroy the asuras whenever there is such a need in the world, and to do good to both of them. So that's the welfare of all, to do good to both of them. So this is kind of hard for people to understand. They think, well, he rewards one and punishes the other. How is that equal? Well, because just like a father, he might have a good son and a bad son. Or like in the Bible, the story of the prodigal son. So although the father obviously is pleased by the good son, but he'll give special attention to the bad son to try and save him. So we see the story of the prodigal son in the Bible. One son always stays faithful to his father, always stays with his father, always takes his father's advice, and the other son leaves, squanders whatever his father gave him, and once he's exhausted and defeated, comes back, and the father greets him with a great festival and gives him special attention. And the loyal son says, well, father, you never did this for me. But the idea is that the father has equal, let's say, appreciation for both sons in the sense that, they're like part and parcel of him in a sense. So it's even more so in the case of Krishna, where all living entities are part and parcel of the Lord. And the Lord's desire is that everyone come back to Godhead. Why should they be suffering in the material world? So even though the asuras will be defeated, even in their defeat, they're still awarded liberation. So these are difficult things to understand for ordinary people because they want vengeance. But for devotees, all of this is just more reasons to glorify the Lord, because he has unfathomable mercy for all living entities. Okay, so his punishment is also mercy. It's to educate someone to stop committing sinful activities. So everything the Lord does is merciful. But some people understand it and some people don't. So another point here is that some of the confidential demigods appeared in the Yadu family and served the Lord in his great mission. After the mission was fulfilled, the demigods, by the will of the Lord, relinquished their corporeal bodies by fighting amongst themselves in the madness of intoxication. And then Prabhupada says, the demigods are accustomed to drinking soma rasa beverage, and therefore the drinking of wine and intoxication are not unknown to them. So soma rasa is a type of intoxicating drink that if when you drink it, it can prolong your life 10,000 years. And don't ask me, I don't know the formula or the recipe for soma rasa. But I know where you can find it. It's on the moon. So if you want to be one of the first SpaceX voyagers to go to the moon, which is not possible. So don't even try it. It won't succeed. If you do want to go to the moon, then you have to worship Chandra, the demigod of the moon. But why would you want to go there? It would just increase your stay in the material world. Better to go back to Godhead. So you don't need to worship Chandra, you just worship Krishna. Okay, so are there any questions? What do you mean by that? Well, that phrase, all living entities are created equal, that's from the Declaration of Independence, not Bhagavad. Unless you know where it is, Bhagavad. Well, that means that Krishna is equal to everyone. It doesn't mean that, see, first of all living entities are not created. They are eternal. That's why I say that's a phrase in the Declaration of Independence. It's not. I don't know. I mean, if you know where it is, you show me. In the Bhagavad Gita, it says all living entities are created equal. Let's get one thing straight. The soul is eternal, not created. The only thing that seems to be created is the body. But the body is created based on karma. So you can't say everyone created equal. In the material world, no one is equal. Everybody has a different karma. The soul is eternal. So whether you're a good person or a bad person, you have an eternal soul. That soul is part and parcel of Krishna. But the body you have is not the same. Every body is different. Yes. Why the? Some souls fall down. Yeah, okay, but I was just trying to point out that you can't say everyone is created equal. Well, that's explained in the 16th chapter. The Daivi Sampad Vimokshaya Nirvandaya Suri Mata Na Sucho Sucha Sampadam Daivim Abhijato Sipandava. Krishna is telling Arjuna, the transcendental qualities are conducive to liberation, whereas the demoniac qualities make for bondage. Do not worry, O son of Pandu, for you are born with the divine qualities. And the purport prophet says, Lord Krishna encouraged Arjuna by telling him that he was not born with demoniac qualities. His involvement in the fight was not demoniac, because he was considering the pros and cons. He was considering whether respectable persons such as Bhishma and Drona should be killed or not. But he was not acting under the influence of anger, false prestige, or harshness. Therefore, he was not of the quality of the demons. For a Kshatriya, a military man, shooting arrows at the enemy is considered transcendental, and refraining from such a duty is demoniac. Therefore, there is no cause for Arjuna to lament. Anyone who performs the regulative principles of the different orders of life is transcendentally situated. So we can see not everyone is born equal. He's saying, Arjuna, you're born with divine quality. Yes. Well, it depends what you're attracted to. Like, for example, I bet you've seen also there are some devotees who started out really good, and later on they fell down. Why did they fall down? So the answer is they would not have fallen down after joining Krishna consciousness if they were perfect. But the what is imperfect is the tendency to be attracted to sense gratification, because that tendency happened originally. That's why some people fell down, like 1/4 of the creation fell down from the spiritual world because of free will. That tendency to be attracted to material nature is possible. Because they didn't divert their attention away from Krishna, whereas some people diverted their attention away from Krishna out of negligence. And they fell down. And that's happening today also. We see people join Krishna consciousness and later on they fall down. It wouldn't be possible unless it happened previously. There are people that never fall down because they never diverted their attention from Krishna. But the people that fell down diverted their attention from Krishna. Became attracted to something in the material world that seemed attractive. And they're still falling down. Even after they join Krishna consciousness in this world, there are people that still fall down because that tendency is. Now, if you look at the different types of reactions, sinful reactions, let's say, well, first, it all begins with the tendency to be attracted to sin, the subtle thing that comes with people in the material world. And because of bad association, they become attracted, and then they commit a sinful act. And then there's a period where the reaction is unseen, aparabdha, and then it becomes manifest, aparabdha. And when it becomes manifest, it begins as bad dreams and strong desires for sense gratification, and then goes further where you have financial problems, or you have legal problems, or you can have a disease or something like that, or you could be born with a congenital problem like a heart valve that doesn't work. You're destined to die soon. So, and then after suffering those reactions, what remains is the tendency to be attracted to sin. And you die with that tendency, and the next time you take birth, it's still there. And you can either repeat the process, or you can finally give it up by engaging in Krishna consciousness, devotional service, and not being attracted by sense gratification because you're all fully engaged in devotional service. Well, what happens when the soul, when a jiva falls down? His soul is not corrupted. It's just covered. Yes, because the soul is always pure. It can't be corrupted. There's no chemical combination that takes place between soul and matter. But the matter covers it. Or the desire for sense gratification covers consciousness of the soul. And therefore one begins to, you know, one becomes just like you drop your ring in the toilet and you flush the toilet. Well, it becomes covered with water and stool. And now it's going to be very hard to find it because you already flushed it, right? So you'd have to go to a sewer, try and find the ring. And now it's going to be covered not just with a little bit of water, it's going to be covered with a lot of water and stool. So, but once you find the ring, it's not contaminated. Gold ring, it's not contaminated. Just wash it and put it back on your finger. Well, the Lord doesn't have a pastime of falling down. Yeah. Okay, now look, let me read this will settle it. This, this I Previously, I read 16th chapter, verse 5. Now, 16th chapter, verse 6, Krishna says, O son of Prita, in this world there are two kinds of created beings. One is called divine and the other demoniac. I have already explained to you at length the divine qualities. Now hear from me of the demoniac. So, in the purport, Prabhupada says, Lord Krishna, having assured Arjuna that he was born with the divine qualities, is now describing the demoniac qualities. The conditioned living entities are divided into two classes in this world. Those who are born with divine qualities follow a regulated life, that is to say, they abide by the injunctions and scriptures and by the authorities. One should perform duties in the light of authoritative scripture. The mentality is called divine. One who does not follow the regulative principles as they are laid down in the scripture and who acts according to his whims is called demoniac or asuric. There is no other criterion but obedience to the regulative principles of the scripture. It is mentioned in the Vedic literature that both the demigods and the demons are born of the Prajapati. The only difference is that one class obeys the Vedic injunctions and the other does not. So this is why it's so important not to send your kids to public schools, because they're going to be taught not to obey. That's the whole theme of public schools, not to obey spiritual authority, that you have a right to speculate, you have the right to figure things out on your own, and that is the proper way to live life. Not accept any scriptural authority. You can if you want, but that's not scientific, and it's not the truth. It's just a belief, you see. So that's what they teach you in school. So by sending your kid to school, you're actually abusing them. Yeah, it's a slaughterhouse. It's nonsense. So anyway, you see, so the difference between a demon and a devotee is the devotees follow the rules and regulations. They have faith in God. And the demons don't. They don't follow rules. And that's exactly what happens to kids. By the time they get out of, 12, 18 years of school, they don't follow the rules anymore. Huh? Ready? I have a class now. We can discuss tomorrow. You can look up some. But my point is, we're not all born equal. That's not. If you can find where it says that, I will accept it. But no. But he specifically says here that you're born with divine qualities. No, but he's saying there's two types of people in the world. There's the devotees and the demons. So it's not only Arjuna is born with divine quality, other people also. So you cannot say everyone is born equal. Because everyone has a different karma. Yes, that's true. And everyone can make that choice. And that choice is not regulated by the laws of karma. Yeah, I'll be right back. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama.